question was asked, we find numerous examples in Tanakh where people are held accountable for a specific reaction. For example, Shaul is rebuked for leaving Amalek, parts of Amalek alive, leaving their cattle alive, and he doesn't admit it, and he loses the throne, even though later on he regrets it. How does that work? So there are, I think, three answers to that question, which are complementary. And we'll discuss each. Number one is there are windows of opportunity. Number two is great people are judged uniquely. And number three is that there's also a question of mazal. Okay? So number one, there are definitely windows of opportunity in life. There are definitely moments where a person will define their future. There are moments. There are moments that define nations' future. The whole world is hoping that Turkey's shooting down a Russian plane this week won't define the future of NATO and much of what's going to happen with world powers in the coming months. There are specific actions that will define things for people. And this is true in the secular world. This is true in the religious world. This is true in Torah. Tanakh teaches us this both in a practical aspect and in a spiritual aspect. There are pivotal moments. And when Adam and Eve eat from the forbidden fruit, you could say, what did they do? They just ate from the forbidden fruit. So you ate a fruit. You ate an apple. That's going to change the whole world. Okay? God said not to. They did. But they were supposed to have it only a few hours later for Kiddush. They were supposed to make Kiddush on that wine. Right? Okay. But right? There are pivotal moments. There are. And there are pivotal moments in our life and there are pivotal conversations. When Cain tries to fool God, he says, am I my brother's keeper? Do I know where my brother is? Had Cain played that conversation differently, then his future would have been different. We find over and over again, Adam asks Cain, how did you get a reduced sentence? Cain says, well, I pleaded. I said, I'm sorry. Ah, there's a concept of tshuva. We are taught by Chazal that there are moments that define, that will define us, that will define our future. And there are windows of opportunity. There are windows of opportunity in both directions, going up and going down. The Medrash says in the end of Bamidbar, since God finished creating the world, what is God doing? So it says God is creating ladders. Ladders. People have opportunities to climb up and people have opportunities to climb down. And one man's misery is another man's fortune. When Sihon and Og attack Israel and their territory is annexed, when their territory is conquered, that is the opportunity for 2.5 tribes to expand their territorial gains. Reuven, Gad, and half the tribe of Menashe. So Sihon and Og are brought down, and Reuven, Gad, and half the tribe of Menashe go up. There's a ladder there. It's an available ladder. Did the tribe of Reuven, Gad, and half the tribe of Menashe benefit or lose by taking that ladder? At first glance, they benefited. From a broader glance, they lost. They were the first to be exiled. They were attacked repeatedly in the period of Judges. They lost. They lost their educational system. They lost. But it was a ladder, and it's an opportunity. And life works that way. There are windows of opportunity. So it can be that in one conversation, a person defines himself. And if you think about it in recent history, that's also true. I don't know if Dan Quayle would have lost his chance at being president had he not corrected that child that you spelled potato with an E. You know, when he made that mistake, so everyone was talking, oh, he doesn't even know how to spell potato. He corrects the child in a spelling bee and says there's an E in that. Okay, so one comment took a split second, but it affected his future. It's that way we see it in life. So yes, it is very possible, and for sure we see it in Tanakh, that on a spiritual sense there are opportunities to go up and there are opportunities to go down, and people seal their opportunities. The opportunities don't necessarily repeat themselves, which is a positive lesson too. There are new opportunities, but that's point number one. Point number two is that righteous people are really held to a very high standard. We know that. But before we go on to point number three, there is another point, though. Even after the decree, it could have turned out for good. Because if Hashem decreed that the throne would be lost from Shaul, Hashem gave it to the next closest person, and that is his son-in-law, which would mean the throne would continue with his grandchildren. Shaul didn't have to view it with the veracity he did. The fact that Hashem decreed upon him that he would lose the throne, well, it could be that he'll lose the throne, but his grandchildren will still be kings. It was the kindest decree if the decree had to be there. Shaul chose to fight the decree. But that's... We should realize that there was still opportunity to regain the throne, so to speak. Jonathan, his son, told David, I will be your second in command. You will take the throne and I'll be just under you. That was Jonathan's intention. I forgot the third point. We said we're going to talk about the windows of opportunity. We said righteous people are judged. And what was the third point? Remind me.
Mazal.
Right. The Talmud says that there is an element of mazal over here. That Hashem decrees before a person's born what his mazal, which incorrectly translates into luck. It's not that. Mazal is a certain system under which a person is created. According to one opinion in Rashi, mazal is a person's angel. But the Talmud says Shaul had one fatal error, and look, it destroyed him. And David had numerous fatal errors, and they did not destroy him. And the Talmud says, even though Shaul was so pious, that was his mazal. So there is an element where different people have different mazal. There is an element where one person can make repeated errors and it won't destroy him. And another person makes one error and it does destroy him. And again, this is something we see in the day-to-day world. You can see politicians, they say that no other politician could have had the amount of inappropriate behavior as Bill Clinton and remain president. The number of things that he did wrong from before he became president. I mean, there was a lawsuit against him for rape. You know, there were so many lawsuits against him and so many questions. The lawyer that knew testimony about him suddenly had a car accident and died. And he went to the funeral and made believe he was crying and everything was terrible, but the video cameras caught him laughing as he left the funeral. It was all a fake. But it didn't matter. He made so many mistakes and he did so many things wrong. Looked the American public in the eye and said, I did not do it. And then everyone knew he did do it. He lied to everyone. How many things can a person do wrong? And we see it in our own lives. There are people who will make one mistake, read my lips. Well, that's before your time. And they're buried. One mistake, and then there are other people who can make many mistakes and they're not buried. And Chazal say that's a question of mazal. Our sages say Shaul was extraordinarily pious. When David said a psalm against Shaul, so Hashem said to David, you know, if your mazal were different, you know how many of you I would kill for Shaul? You'd be a dead man many times, but you had a different mazal, whatever that means. In some way, the way Hashem sets up the world, different people are born with a different mazal or a different godly plan. And so within that plan, they can last all kinds of pitfalls. And then other people, they can have one pitfall destroy them. Now again, we have to bear in mind that even Shaul's terrible decree did not have to play itself out as badly as it did. And this goes back to the first point we discussed tonight. The idea of al tira, not being scared. Of being able to live life and say, if this is what Hashem has for me, then I can be happy with it. I'm going to go with it. I'm going to work with it. We try, we attempt, we daven, we do ishtadlut, and we also have to try and overcome our fears. Overcome the fact that there are things in life that are not working out the way we want. And in Shaul's case, Hashem even tells him, it's not going to be what you want. I'm going to take away your dreams. But you see, Hashem gave it to him in the sweetest form possible. It's going to continue with your son-in-law. Could have been. So those are the three concepts. Number one, there are windows of opportunity. Number two, with the pious, Hashem does do exacting justice. And number three, the idea that there is mazal, the Talmud says, and different people are affected differently.